Well, I'm thankful for another Sunday evening service that we can be together. I'd like maybe this evening to, Lord willing, finish up on a study that we began, I think, maybe last Sunday night. We talked quite a bit in length on the subject of being lukewarm. So this is lukewarm part two. Like we mentioned last time, the Lord wants us to be strong Christians. The Lord wants to get us to the place where we increase in strength. And it's not always a good idea to compare ourselves, never a good idea. To compare ourselves among ourselves, we can start to either feel less than adequate in a way that the Lord is not His plan at all, or we can start feeling like we are just pretty good. We don't want to feel either of those ways, but God wants us to increase in strength. He wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to be stagnant. He wants us to be strong Christians. He wants us to get to that place where we are better able than we were last year to handle those difficult areas of life. And that we'd be able to grow in grace. That the fruit of the Spirit would increase in our lives. Not decrease, not stay the same, but as we are connected to the vine, who is Jesus Christ, that we would become stronger. Lukewarm is not something that the Lord wants to define us. That's something that as we talked about last time, Laodicea was defined as lukewarm. Not a good thing to be labeled by God. Thankfully, He gave them opportunity to repent and to turn that around and to become hot or cold. Something that had some energy infused into it, which is by Him, by Jesus Christ. That's where He wants us to get our power, our energy. But we don't want to be lukewarm. So let's jump right into it tonight. For the sake of time, I'm not going to rewrite on the board everything that we went over last Sunday night, but maybe we could just quickly review. When we talked about what lukewarm means from a spiritual standpoint, what were some of the things, the words that we wrote on the board that described lukewarm from a spiritual standpoint? I think lacking conviction was one of them. What else comes to mind?
Complacency.
What else? Half-hearted, that was one of them. Half-hearted, go ahead.
Lazy.
I don't know if we wrote it down or not, but apathetic is a describer of that. Stagnant. What else?
Comfortable.
Lack of interest. Comfortable. Absence or lack of interest. Okay. So those all start to define, if we are in a spiritually lukewarm state, those adjectives or descriptors begin to apply. And then we talked a little bit about, if that applies to us, if we're half-hearted, if we're lacking interest, if we're lazy, if we're comfortable with where we are, if we're stagnant, if we're apathetic, what are some of the specific things or specific results that began to crop up in our lives? I believe one of them was less than adequate interest in the Word of God. What else was there?
Your prayer life suffers.
Your prayer life. You begin to lose power in your life, and which goes along with a weak prayer life. Prayer life starts to go away, starts to become routine and stale, and it's just words. It's just time, marching to time. You did prayer, you got that done. I prayed. I'm supposed to read and pray. I prayed.
Do you look forward to prayer?
So do you have an interest, your passion in prayer? Alright, so interest in the word of the Lord begins to decrease. Your prayer life, start to see that, suffer. The power, lack of power in your life. You start facing things and it's like, why can't I overcome this? Why do I give in to these temptations that before I was able to overcome and now it seems like my power has gone away? What else did we discuss? Yes, fellowship. Your interest in fellowship begins to diminish. Fellowshipping with God's people. It starts to become well more interesting and a priority to do something different when there is opportunity to go fellowship with God's people. Why? Well, because maybe you're beginning to become a little lukewarm. Is there anything else that we talked about last time?
Selfish or self-centered.
And that begins to drive some of these other results, doesn't it? Becomes more about us than it is about the Lord and service to other people. Our passion in obeying God's word begins to decrease. Our reasons, all the reasons that we can come up with as to why we're justified to live like we want to live, begins to overpower our desire to follow the word of the Lord wherever it takes us. So when we began to become lukewarm, these are some of the red flags. These are some of the things that start to manifest themselves. Well, we spent quite a while last time talking about these things. Don't want to spend all of this evening with that, but wanted to kind of give a reminder and a background of that. Would like to move to the 17th verse of the third chapter of Revelation. We spent a lot of time on the 15th and the 16th verses, where the Lord said, I know thy works, you're not cold, you're not hot, I wish you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And so then now, the Lord begins to touch on one of the reasons that they got into this place. The condition of their hearts and their lives. The 17th verse says, and this is again the Lord still speaking to them, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I want to stop there. Was there anything about the start of this verse that caught your attention that might be a problem? How did this verse start off?
Well, it finished up that first phrase. It sounded like it was easy.
The first... Go ahead. That's right. And the first thing that he said was, because thou sayest. So who is it that is describing their state? Is it God? Is it the Spirit of the Lord? Or is it themselves? It was themselves. That struck me when I read this verse. It said, because thou sayest, thou art rich and increased with goods. The Lord didn't say that. The Spirit of the Lord didn't say that. The Word of the Lord didn't didn't confirm that they were rich and increased with goods, but rather it said, because thou sayest, thou art rich, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and knowest not that really you're in trouble. What might cause us to have a similar thought process or attitude? What could cause us to have a false sense of spiritual security where we say, I think everything's good.
Being comfortable where they're at.
All right, let's write some of these down. You've become comfortable where you are. What else? What could cause us to feel like that we are good before God? And how can we get deceived? What is it that sometimes can deceive us or lull us into the belief that all is okay? I guess one thing that struck me is, because thou sayest, and he was speaking to the church at Laodicea. He wasn't speaking to one person. He was speaking to a number of people. So if all of the people were saying all is good, then it strikes me that perhaps one of the things that they were doing that caused them to become deceived was that they were comparing themselves among themselves. Past victories? So if he was speaking to the people at the church at Laodicea, were they going to church? Maybe they were. Maybe they went to church. Maybe they were giving to the church. Maybe they were sacrificing in some way. So they had a... Perhaps they had a form of godliness. So you're helping describe this. They went to church. They gave. Maybe there was some sacrifice that they did. Maybe they had some knowledge of the truth. Could this ever apply to us? The scripture says that in the last days, and that was one of the things that happens in the last days, that there would be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We can have a form of godliness and begin to feel a sense of spiritual security with that form of godliness, which leads to deceit. We can deceive ourselves into thinking, I'm good. I'm rich. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to church. I'm giving. There's some sacrifice that's coming from my life. I have some knowledge of the truth. I have these things. I recognize wrong in other people? A lot of times it's other people and not ourselves. Maybe we even testify. So we verbally express, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. All of these things are good and necessary, and you will find these things a part of people that have a strong, alive relationship with God. But I also can do these things that we just mentioned and be lukewarm. And we can all feel good about how we're living right here in these four walls. And express to ourselves that we are accepted and all is good, and pat each other on the back and compare ourselves among ourselves, and in the meantime begin to drift away and lose our oil, because our passion for being in contact with Jesus Christ, our passion and our sense of urgency for having the Holy Spirit living in our hearts and our lives is beginning to become stagnant and dull, and we become comfortable in these things, and we start becoming deceived that all is well. And then we become like the five foolish virgins. It didn't say the five foolish sinners, it said the five foolish virgins. They were unspotted from the world. They were termed virgins. They had some many good things about them, and yet when the Lord came back, they were found without oil. Their oil had run out. They had lost their passion for the Word of the Lord. They had lost their passion for understanding, Lord, what would thou have me to do today? Not resting in what happened yesterday, past victories, but Lord, how can the fruit that comes from my life be improved from what it is today? So, the Lord said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that you're in need of a lot. In fact, it was a very stark picture that he painted. He said, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And you don't even know it. You don't even realize that this is the place that you're in. You have failed to dig deep to understand what the Lord has for you and where you are. And so in God's mercy, He sent them a message that if they would follow it, they would be able to correct their course. And so what He said was in the 18th verse, I counsel thee, because of these things, because you're lukewarm, because you said these things that they're not accurate, they don't accurately reflect your life, because of that, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I don't know how much time you spent studying Laodicea, but I find it fascinating. I have been studying the city of Laodicea. Laodicea was a very rich city. And somewhere around 60 AD, there was an earthquake that came through and basically destroyed the city. And the Romans, and it wasn't the only city that was destroyed, there were other cities that were destroyed too. And the Romans were willing to give help, give money, give funds to rebuild these cities. But Laodicea was the only city that refused any help. We don't need any help. We'll rebuild this ourselves. Laodicea was a known banking town. They actually minted coins. And they were rich. And they also had, they were known for exporting black wool that was used to make clothes. And they also were known for manufacturing eye salve, mineral eye salve, to help people that had trouble. The Lord knew all of this. And the Lord knows how to get right where we're living. And so He came along and He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. They knew something about money and fire and being tried in the fire. What happens when gold is tried in the fire? Doesn't the dross separate from the gold? And you're able to take the dross off and you're left with pure gold. And this verse says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold that is tried in the fire. In other words, get a hold of something where that dross has been removed. Something valuable that you can do something with that the dross is gone. And many of the commentators believe that in large part this is referring to getting a hold of faith that will stand every trial. Get a hold of believing into something that is going to go beyond the temporal, the things that pass away. Get a hold of something that is going to affect your heart. That's going to cause a fire to be in your heart. That's going to help allow those things that are unlike Christ to be separated out, and so that you can separate them from your life. The Lord wants us tonight to get a hold of a faith that will see us through every test. Where we're not easily moved. Where we're willing for the unadulterated Word of God to be applied to our lives in a way that begins to show us that there is yet dross in our lives that needs to be removed. And not be fearful of that. That we embrace it. That we welcome it. Lord, I believe in You. I trust in You. I will follow You wherever it takes me, even if it shows me that there's something in my life where there's a great need. And then He said, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Again, they were acquainted with black raiment. And the Lord came along and He said, and He knew that. He knew they could relate to this. Because that's what they sold, was black wool for raiment. And so He said, I counsel thee to buy of me white raiment, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. You are missing out on a virtue that goes beyond the surface. And I counsel you to get a hold of holiness that's just on the outside? No. A holiness that goes beyond the outside, that goes all the way to the heart. God wants more than a profession from us. He wants more than just a testimony. He wants us to have more than just a knowledge of the truth. And yet, our lives yielding fruit that is unlike Christ. The Lord wants us to have a power and a strength that allows us to live in a way that accurately represents who He is. And then He said, And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Well, He knew they could relate with that too. Because they themselves manufactured eye salve. So was the Lord concerned that they would manufacture a better eye salve so that their physical eyes could see better? Well, what was He speaking to?
He wasn't talking about gold or clothing or medicine.
He's talking about something deeper than that, wasn't he? He wanted them to have their eyes anointed with the eye salve of the Holy Spirit so that they would be able to discern spiritual things, so that they would be able to discern where they truly stood before God. He wasn't interested that they would be able to make better wool, better coins, export better eye salve, but he wanted them to get in the place where they would be able to understand how they could be more richer in Jesus Christ. So in conclusion tonight, how do we have these important things take place in our lives? Because as we said last Sunday, this wasn't just to the church at Laodicea. This is a message that I believe the Lord wanted us all to get as a warning and as instruction that we not become lukewarm in our lives. So for us to be able to get our hands and our lives and our hearts around gold that's tried in the fire and white raiment and the eye salve that we might be able to see, it's not complicated, but it's not necessarily easy either. We have to give ourselves to it. We have to be willing to make it a priority in our life. As we've been talking about in the morning services, we have to have an interest in the Word of God. We must have an interest that our hearts and our lives would be opened up, that the Holy Spirit would be willing to come live within us so that He can show us the way, be a light unto our pathway, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. And it isn't going to happen with a one and done prayer before God and then we go out the back door and all is good. It is going to involve, if you don't want to be lukewarm, and I don't want to be lukewarm, it means that we are going to have to give ourselves to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Reading His Word, praying, asking the Holy Spirit to give us light and understanding. And as we've studied before, we must take on holiness. How is holiness described again? Committed, dedicated, consecrated, set apart unto man, unto ourselves, no, unto God. This describes holiness. Lord, I want to be holy in Your sight. I want to live each day where I'm committed to Your way, not my way. I'm dedicated to understanding what that means for me personally. I'm going to consecrate myself to it. And yes, Lord, I'm willing to set myself apart from the world. Not just so that we can say I'm different from the world. They like red today, so I'm going to like blue. And whenever times change and they like blue, then I'll like red. No, it's set apart from the spirit of the world that is unlike Christ. And be willing to set ourselves apart unto God. We must take on holiness. Give ourselves to this. If we're not going to be lukewarm. Does this mean that do we rely on our feelings? Is there anybody here tonight that always feels on the mountaintop? Anybody that always feels spiritually just on fire and alive? I haven't found that experience yet for myself. And I don't think I've met anybody that has.
We can't rely on our feelings. There are times where we aren't going to feel this way, but may God help us that we make a decision that regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what's going on in our lives, regardless of the ebb and flow of our feelings, that we will remain committed, dedicated, consecrated, set apart unto God, that we will give ourselves to those things that will draw us closer to the Lord, but be careful that we be not deceived with a form of godliness, but that we pursue an alive relationship with Jesus. I'm sobered by this passage, by this instruction. I want to learn from it. I don't want to be asleep or at ease in Zion, as we mentioned last Sunday. Don't want to be lukewarm. But I want to give myself wholly and completely to the Lord. And at the very end of all of that, Jesus said again, He repeated Himself. He said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Amen.